Amen. All right, welcome to another meeting with Zion's Trumpet. Everybody hear me? All three of you? Okay. Well, we got some special music tonight. Some things going on. So we're going to get right into it here. If we can get the girls here. The girls are going to sing a couple songs. Come on, girls. And we'll see how this works out.
First one is Joy. Here we go.
John went to pray. Amen, amen on the way. He asked for alms and poured out his palms. And this is what Peter did say. Silver and gold have I none.
Very nice. Okay, who's next?
Christine.
Okay. Was Christy and Joy. We're going to learn how to play the guitar. All right. Come on, Joey. But Joey's got his guitar here somewhere. He's going to.
How do you want to
here, just sit your computer down there. That's fine. Over there. Okay. Yeah, this is the Zion's Trumpet Choir again.
We've come to the altar of incense. No longer the many, but one. Come to the evening oblation to be offered. But one.
Amen. Okay, now, Sister Annabelle, she had a little something to share, so I'll let her share it first, since it was, has something to do with that song. So, we're going to let Mom share first. And can you get in here?
Yeah.
There you go. Okay.
Hi, everyone. Every time we sing that song, I get so blessed. I've known that song for many years, and I've never sang it that I didn't get blessed, because I know that's something that's coming forward in God's timetable, becoming one at the altar of incense. And I just wanted to share a little bit about this week. We were in the book of Hebrews. And as I meditated on some of the scriptures, I was renewed afresh of the wonderful provision that God has provided for us through his son, Jesus. You know, Jesus is our high priest. And in Hebrews 1:1, it says that God, who at sundry times and in different manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. And I thought, what a wonderful thing that before Jesus died, that no one could hear from God if there wasn't a prophet around. The only way they could hear from God was through a prophet. And since Jesus died, we can go right directly to the throne of God and hear from him ourselves and talk to him. And it was only the priest that took the prayers of the saints to God. The priest took the prayers of the people up to God. But now, after Jesus died, he rent that veil in two, and now we can go right in to the throne of God and make our needs known unto him. And I thought, how wonderful. I don't know that we realize the wonderful provision he's made for us, that now we can talk to God personally through Jesus Christ, and we can hear from him personally through Jesus Christ. And as I meditated on the book of Hebrews after we read it, I thought, how wonderful and glorious this is to us. And you know, the prayers of the saints, we sing that song about the golden altar of incense. And the prayers of that's where the prayers of the saints go up to God. You know, in the Old Testament, the altar of incense was on the outside of the second curtain that goes into the Holy of Holies. And in the book of Hebrews, we read where the golden censer that is on the golden altar is found behind the curtain. And I thought, that signifies that since the curtain was, since when Jesus died and that curtain was broken in two, it was split in two from the top to the bottom, that now our prayers are in there and our prayers can go right up to God. Before that, they were outside that curtain and the priest had to take them up. But now, through the blood of Jesus Christ and through his sacrifice, we can, our prayers go right directly up to God. What a wonderful thing that is. And, as we were singing that song, something came to me about the two witness company that John, in the 11th chapter of Revelation, that's been very real to me. It's almost as real to me as John 3:16 is to most Christians, because I've studied it and read it, and with anticipation to offer up my life as a living sacrifice, that should I be alive when that happens, that I might be part of that two witness company. So I know that it's a group of people, because John was told to measure all those that were worshiping in the temple and at the golden altar of incense. He was to take a reed like a rod, and he was to measure them. He was to measure where they were living. He was to measure their worship. Worship is giving, can also be offering up our lives to God as a living sacrifice. Worship can be obeying Christ, being conformed to the image of Jesus. That's the kind of worship at the golden altar of incense. And through that golden altar of incense, our intercessory prayers go up to God. And so he's told to measure these people. And after he measures them and God sees who measures up, he says, then I will give power. Then he will give power to his two witnesses. He'll give power from heaven as a witness, and he'll have man on earth as a witness that's bringing forth that power through all the earth. And it's just a glorious thing that what God has provided for those that will press into the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That those who are going to be part of the last generation. I don't know if I'll still be here because I'm 85, but I know that some of you will. Some of you will still be here when that happens. I know that because the time is coming real soon. And what a wonderful, wonderful thing it is to be found worshiping at the golden altar of incense, to be found that you were able and you were to be part of that two witness company and to be given the power of God that you'll need to preach about the judgment that's coming. Because it is a ministry of judgment. In the 11th chapter of Revelation, it's a ministry of judgment to turn water to blood or to bring plagues as often as they will for those who don't obey God or won't listen to their message. So it's going to be a message of judgment to the world, the last message of God's judgment before the coming of Jesus. And some of you people that will listen to me on Monday, or that aren't here tonight but listen to me on Monday, you may be one of them. You have a chance, you have a challenge to allow the Holy Spirit to conform you to the image of Jesus Christ, to allow the Holy Spirit to do a work of holiness in you, to make you holy even as He is holy, to make you perfect even as He is perfect. You can be one of them. You can be one of them if you're willing to pay the price. What a glorious, glorious plan of salvation that God has opened up to us. And I just want to encourage anyone that's listening to me to spend time with God, find out what God's timetable holds in the near future, and be part of what He's doing. Be part of what He's doing on the earth. You can be part of what He's doing on the earth. I can be part of what He's doing on the earth if I'm here. We can, because God He's no respecter of persons. He's no respecter of persons, and He's given you His plan of salvation. He's given you this plan. He's made you to be heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And if you're joint heirs with Christ, the government's going to be on your shoulder as well as it's going to be on Christ's shoulder. And they said that God said there'll be no end to His government. There'll be no end to His government. Hallelujah. And the government will be on His shoulders, and because we're His brothers, and He's not ashamed to call us brethren, the government will be on our shoulder for all eternity. For all eternity. This isn't just for 10 or 15 or 20 years. This is forever and ever and ever. His government will be an everlasting government. It will never end. It will go on forever and ever and ever. And you can be part of that government. You can be part of that government by allowing the Holy Spirit to do a work of holiness and perfection in you right now. Praise the Lord. Shalom.
Amen. That's good. It was a good word. That's an amen. Hey, Cameron's going to speak next, I believe. Cameron has something to share.
Thank you, Dan.
Hi, everybody. Thank you, Mama. That was very, very good. Very anointed. Well, what can I say? This place is a place to learn. Praise the Lord. All right, well, we watched a documentary on God's creation and how intricate His creatures are. And one of the creatures that struck me the most was a fish, the salmon. There are many parallels between a salmon's life and our walk with God. I would like to share some of them with you. When the salmon are born, they stay close to their freshwater gravel bed until they make their incredible journey. While the salmon are still young, they swim out to the Pacific Ocean and make a transformation from freshwater to saltwater. Just like we need to be changed from our old nature to our new man. When the salmon are out in the ocean, they keep growing to maturity, and during that growth, they have many natural predators, such as fishermen and other aquatic species. Again, just like we are growing up, we too have many enemies. Now it's time for the salmon to return home, back to their birthplace. Scarcely resembling the young fish that swam down these waters months or years before, the adults are so totally consumed in their quest that they will eat nothing as they battle swimming upstream. No obstacle can discourage them. Equipped with their powerful tails and torpedo-like bodies, salmon have been known to ascend falls more than 10 feet high. The hazard can be devastating for salmon as they encounter new predators like grizzly bears and eagles. And though some die, the survivors press on, sometimes more than 1,000 miles, bypassing many streams and other rivers along the way, until finally in the exact waters of the gravel beds where they were born. Now they too will lay their eggs. Their life mission is completed. Their entire cycle is nothing short of a phenomenon. As Christians, we are also battling upstream to the high calling, and at this point, we should be equipped with the armor of God, giving us the ability to fight things that are many times greater in size, and our new and skilled enemies. And just as some of us don't make it to the high calling, we are not to get discouraged. If these little fish can make it to their destination, how much more should we be able to make it? We must press on just like the salmon, avoiding all the wrong forks in the road. Our journey may last for 100 years, but our destination is eternal. Our entire cycle is nothing short of a miracle. Thank you all. That's all I had to share.
Amen. Good word. That's wonderful. I think we have somebody else here. We got Joey? I think Joey's going to go next. He has to get up the nerve.
Nervousness. Thank you, sir. Hello, everyone. Good evening. Hi, Irma and Lisa and Caymans. Hello there, everyone. Here we go again. So anyway, somehow I thought I was not going to ponder more about Jacob or much less talk about him anytime soon. Like I mentioned a little bit of him last week when I was blessed by his time of being alone with God that resulted in a radical transformation in his soul. But somehow, I guess, I ended up thinking about him a little bit further and how he actually not only progressed in his own relationship with God, but the overall encounter and deliverance he received from God also affected the people that were in his care. He preached to them and exhorted them to put away their foreign gods or their idols, because God was calling them into a place of holiness before him that would cause them to go, to be able to go to Bethel, where God specifically sends Jacob to make an altar unto the Lord. I believe that one of the things that happens in a child of God that's being drawn deeper and higher in the Lord will also have a call to purge themselves of idols and foreign gods. If we truly are drawing to the Lord closer, there will be a corresponding desire for true holiness and purity. There will be purging and separation and the cutting off of fleshly and demonic things that at all areas of our lives. And as we spend time with the Lord and listen and wait on Him, He is willing to speak to us concerning what needs to be put away, what needs to be purged and be placed under, you know, under the oak, so to speak. To that, there's a scripture concerning the oak. So we can be led to go to Bethel where God dwells, or in these final days where God can make His people a place of His habitation and rest. Now, I was looking up what Bethel means, and as many of us may already be familiar with, it means the house of God. And so Jacob preached to those who were with him, including his household. He told them to put away your idols. God is taking us somewhere, somehow, to a place the place that leads us into Him and make us a people He desires us to be according to His plans and purposes, according to His promise He shared with our father Abraham. As I think about the situation with Jacob, I was kind of looking back at my past. From the time I was in the church system where everybody was happy, being in service Sunday after Sunday, being excited about different guest speakers, conferences, church productions, and musical talents among the praise and worship team, etc. You know, the Christian week-by-week religious experience was very exciting and fun for the masses. But I guess personally for me and probably a number of others I never knew about, deep within there was a hunger for more reality in God and for the manifestation of His kingdom in my life, whether I knew the full meaning of that or not. Now, as time went on, there was a choice that was put before me between the truth about God's invitation to more purity or to continue to keep keep unity with church friends and remain unequally yoked with those who actively majored and operated in the gifts of the Spirit, who endeavored in evangelism, who cultivated ministry programs and world missions, but also compromised with the spirit of this world, etc. As I sought after the Lord for more of Him, a fork in the road would constantly be put before me. So from the beginning, when a person first meets Jesus as Savior, there would be forks in the road. And dependent upon the person's decision, he would or would not be led to a deeper level in God that would take him closer to the Lord, or whatever level is God inviting him to, or being baptized in the Holy Ghost, which requires more responsibilities to carry out the desires of the Spirit to glorify Jesus as Savior and Lord, which lays before that child of God still forks on the road that would bring an invitation to choose the baptism of fire, which requires a deep work of purging and, spiritually speaking, a rather bloody process of putting to death the Adamic soul in order to live a life of walking softly in the Spirit as a son to glorify the Father as Jesus did. And so as we choose to press on to go higher and deeper in the Lord, it should not surprise us to find ourselves in moments of agonizing as we answer the call to holiness, which mainly includes the putting away of any idols in our lives and brutally divorce those idols, sending them away with a certificate of divorce and a commitment in our minds and hearts that we will not ever partake of those idols and foreign gods again. We will divorce them and hate them at all costs to maintain that separation and divorce against those foreign gods and demons and idols. Otherwise, we are only hurting ourselves by getting stuck in our self-inflicted trials. That's not for righteousness' sake, but because of our foolishness, and at the same time being kicked around by the devil to our shame. Instead of experiencing God-ordained trials to try and test our faith for our spiritual growth, instead of being able to rejoice when persecutions and tribulations come to us because of our righteousness as we follow Christ, but instead we make it so easy for Satan to enter in our lives by allowing him to open doors to rob and steal, to kill and possibly destroy the life of God in us, to make us backslide into sin and worldliness and walking in the flesh, which leads to death. And by the way, especially in the days we're living in today, it is so easy to be led to death without even you and I even realizing it. So in this account, as the Lord was moving Jacob towards Bethel and ultimately towards his destiny, obviously he was compelled to preach and exhort all the people that were under his responsibility, including his household, and calls them to more purity and holiness by the putting away of their idols and dealing with demon foreign gods in their lives as they embarked their way where the Lord was calling them to go, which was Bethel. Genesis 35, verse 1 to 5. It says, "And God said unto Jacob, Arise, go to Bethel, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household, and to all that were with him, Put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments." Certainly, if you've been listening to Dan's program for quite some time, you would know that the message of being an overcomer or being a son of God, according to Revelation, is that your garment has to be white without defilement. That is, being cleansed or being delivered or being free from defilements of demons, habits, and addictions, defilement from personal idols, selfish and rebellious attitudes, walking in the flesh, relationships with people that's not walking with God, worldly involvements, and of course the most common among Christians are demons of religious spirits. In the third verse, Jacob continues by saying, "And let us arise and go to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went." Verse 4 says, "And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand, and all their earrings which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem." Just as being responsibilities to meet as he went on to his journey to Bethel and worship God there. We also are entrusted with a weighty responsibility to meet God's terms and conditions in our journey to the house of God to worship God in spirit and in truth, so we can be worthy before God for Him to make us His habitation as His holy tabernacle that is made by His hands to manifest the radiance of His glory and holiness, which manifests also His holy justice and wrath among the unrepentant offsprings of political kings, tyrants, and religious monsters and vipers, thieves and robbers, murderers, fornicators, and sodomites. Praise the Lord. I believe it should be counted as a great privilege for those who are able to answer God's invitation to participate with Him in that place of union with Him, to carry out His plans and be entrusted the responsibility to steward His judgments upon the earth against the sons of disobedience. Amen. Back in the passage in Genesis 34:26 to chapter 35:1-5, obviously Jacob was in the middle of a danger and great distress after his sons violently avenged the shame of their sister, who was defiled by Shechem and his father Hamor. In their act of massacre against the people of Hamor and his son Shechem, Jacob feared that possibly that a great number of the rest of the Canaanite tribes would destroy him and all his house. But Jacob obeyed God, as verse 5 says, and they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. Obviously, the Lord granted Jacob divine protection as he departed to go to Bethel at God's command, God's way. The other thing that I got from that scripture for my own personal application was that if we are faithful to put away all of our idols and foreign gods and all of the attachments to the spirit of this world, if we cleanse ourselves in the fear of God by the obedience to the truth, keeping our garments pure and clean, we close any open doors against demons and against all types of enemies around us in this world. They will not be able to pursue us or cling to us to cause us to partake of their sins and their wickedness if we are faithful to fight them by the power of the Spirit. Paul said in Galatians, I died to this world, and this world is dead to me. Jesus said that Satan comes to me and finds nothing in me. These statements are the lives of true sons of God who were perfected in their obedience through suffering to the very end. And God provided them for us as our great examples among other overcomers of the faith. May the Lord help us, and may we all do our part seriously and soberly and endure the fight to the very end for God's worthy cause, for He alone is our eternal reward that we seek after. As we obey the Lord to follow His instructions to go to perfection, whether we live or die in the journey, whether we get sickly or healthy physically, whether we be broke or poor, I believe the Lord will grant us His provision and even protection as He sees fit. But whether we live or die, God is faithful to give us peace in the journey, and victory will be in our account as we commit ourselves to do His will in everything He commands us to do. Amen. That's all I got. Back to Dan.
Wow. Amen, brother. Thank you, Lord. Hey, we got, I think Seth wants to share something too. Come on in, Seth.
Hello, everyone. Yesterday we went and saw the tabernacle, and I must say that was quite an experience. You don't really realize how big the tabernacle really was, I think, until you go and see it, to see the outer court and the inside and all that, and the pieces inside. And one of the things was they only had windows to see into the holiest of holies. And I think it must have been hard for people, even back then, to know that God was so close, and yet they weren't allowed in. And like Mama said, now we are able to go completely in there without having to stay without or look through windows like at the display there. The past few weeks, Dan's been talking about the replacement theology and stuff like that, and in his little cartoons that he's been doing, and was disappointed And today I don't, in the people that believe that, today I don't think there is much difference between replacement theology teachers and those that believe what they teach, that the Jews are not special in any way, and Nazis or Muslims. During the Holocaust, people had to smuggle news out about what Hitler was doing to the Jews because the Nazis tried to hide what they were doing. Today is different in one way. The people that are wanting to kill the Jews, the Muslims, are saying out loud in the news what they want to do and have been doing. But that doesn't stop people from telling the Jews that they are no longer God's chosen people and have no right to the land they live on and to give some of it back to the Arabs, and they really mean all of it. Back in the 1940s, the Nazis told the world and the Jews that they were going to family camps, work camps, to harvest food and make things for the Nazis, and would be treated fairly if they obeyed. At the same time, the news smuggled out said the opposite. They were death camps and being tortured. It was so horrible to believe, so people didn't until after the war and could see for themselves that it was true. Again, today is no different. When the Muslims are chanting, "Kill all the Jews," day in and day out, people refuse to believe that they, the Muslims, will do exactly what they say. What it comes down to is replacement theology, anti-Semitic, and jealous spirit, is thinking the Jews aren't the apple of God's eye, like it says in Zechariah 2:8. A few things that Paul had to say about the Jews start in Romans 11, verse 1. "I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid, for I also am an Israelite, the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin." And Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." And then Romans 3:1 in the NIV, because I thought it read better. "What advantage, then, is there in being a Jew, or what value is there in circumcision? Much in every way. First of all, they have been entrusted with the very words of God." And Romans 9:1, "I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory, the covenants and the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen." Now, if people don't believe that the Jews are still God's chosen people, reading these verses show otherwise, unless the conscience has been seared with a hot iron. We need more people that do as the psalmist said in Psalms 122, verse 6, "Pray for the peace of Jerusalem." And Isaiah 41, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Well, that was all I had, and so back to Dan.
Thank you, Seth. Amen. Amen. Good word. Mom will have something she wanted to add, everybody, so let her speak again quick.
Hi, everyone. I wanted to share something about the golden censer that was very real to me this week. You know, the golden censer, you know, when God told Moses to build a tabernacle exactly after the pattern that he saw in the heavens, there was a golden censer and a golden altar up in the heavens. And I wanted to just add this scripture in Revelation 8, 2 to 6. "And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them was given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne." Now that was a golden altar before the throne of God, and Moses had made an earthly one after that. "And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth, and there were voices and thunderings and lightnings, and then the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound." So the prayers from the saints from the golden altar were used to pour out judgment on the earth. And you know, those prayers contained the prayers of the saints that were burned at the stake, of the saints that were in the lion's den that were praying and asking for help and asking God to avenge your blood. And all those prayers at the end, the angel takes those prayers, mix them with the incense and fire, pours it out in the earth, and judgment comes on the earth. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Our prayers do avail much with God. He said the prayer of fervent man, the zealous prayer of a fervent man availeth much. Our prayers avail much to God. Keep praying. Keep asking for the kingdom of God to come to earth. Please keep asking God to strengthen us and help us to put on the full armor of God that we might be able to stand against all the wiles of the enemy. Keep praying to God. God will help us. God will help us. Our prayers will finally be used to pour out judgment on the ungodly. Hallelujah. Thank you. Amen.
Amen. Preach it, sister.